The LifeSpring Media family of programs are made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. Thank you.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Steve Webb, and this is the LifeSpring Family Bible, episode number 158. Today, we'll be reading 2 Kings, chapters 18 through 20. Shall we start? Second Kings, chapter 18. In the third year of the reign of Israel's king Hoshea, son of Elah, Ahaz's son Hezekiah became king over Judah. He was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Abi, the daughter of Zechariah. He did what the Lord approved, just as his ancestor David had done. He eliminated the high places, smashed the sacred pillars to bits, and cut down the Asherah pole. He also demolished the bronze serpent that Moses had made, for up to that time the Israelites had been offering incense to it. It was called Nehushtan. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel. In this regard, there was none like him among the kings of Judah, either before or after. He was loyal to the Lord and did not abandon him. He obeyed the commandments which the Lord had given to Moses. The Lord was with him. He succeeded in all his endeavors. He rebelled against the king of Assyria and refused to submit to him. He defeated the Philistines as far as Gaza and its territory from the watchtower to the city fortress. In the fourth year of King Hezekiah's reign, it was the seventh year of the reign of Israel's king Hoshea, son of Elah, King Shalmaneser of Assyria marched up against Samaria and besieged it. After 3 years he captured it, in the sixth year of Hezekiah's reign. In the ninth year of King Hoshea's reign over Israel, Samaria was captured. The king of Assyria deported the people of Israel to Assyria. He settled them in Halah, along the Habor, the river of Gozan, and in the city of the Medes. This happened because they did not obey the Lord their God and broke his agreement with them. They did not pay attention to and obey all that Moses, the Lord's servant, had commanded. In the 14th year of King Hezekiah's reign, King Sennacherib of Assyria marched up against all the fortified cities of Judah and captured them. King Hezekiah of Judah sent this message to the king of Assyria, who was at Lachish. "I have violated our treaty. If you leave, I will do whatever you demand." So the king of Assyria demanded that King Hezekiah of Judah pay 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. Hezekiah gave him all the silver in the Lord's temple and in the treasuries of the royal palace. At that time, King Hezekiah of Judah stripped the metal overlays from the doors of the Lord's temple and from the posts which he had plated and gave them to the king of Assyria. The king of Assyria sent his commanding general, the chief eunuch, and the chief advisor from Lachish to King Hezekiah in Jerusalem, along with a large army. They went up and arrived at Jerusalem. They went and stood at the conduit of the upper pool, which is located on the road to the field where they wash and dry cloth. They summoned the king, so Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace supervisor, accompanied by Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, son of Asaph, the secretary, went out to meet them. The chief advisor said to them, "Tell Hezekiah, this is what the great king, the king of Assyria, says. What is your source of confidence? Your claim to have a strategy and military strength is just empty talk. In whom are you trusting that you would dare to rebel against me? Now look, you must be trusting in Egypt, that splintered reed staff. If a man leans for support on it, it punctures his hand and wounds him. That is what Pharaoh, king of Egypt, does to all who trust in him. Perhaps you will tell me, 'We are trusting in the Lord our God.' But Hezekiah is the one who eliminated his high places and altars and then told the people of Judah in Jerusalem, 'You must worship at this altar in Jerusalem.' Now make a deal with my master, the king of Assyria, and I will give you 2,000 horses, provided you can find enough riders for them. Certainly you will not refuse one of my master's minor officials and trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen. Furthermore, it was by the command of the Lord that I marched up against this place to destroy it. The Lord told me, 'March up against this land and destroy it.'" Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, Shebna, and Joah said to the chief advisor, "Speak to your servants in Aramaic, for we understand it. Don't speak with us in the Judahite dialect in the hearing of the people who are on the wall." But the chief advisor said to them, "My master did not send me to speak these words only to your master and to you. His message is also for the men who sit on the wall, for they will eat their own excrement and drink their own urine along with you." The chief advisor then stood there and called out loudly in the Judahite dialect, "Listen to the message of the great king, the king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah mislead you, for he is not able to rescue you from my hand. Don't let Hezekiah talk you into trusting in the Lord when he says, the Lord will certainly rescue us. This city will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for this is what the king of Assyria says. Send me a token of your submission and surrender to me. Then each of you may eat from his own vine and fig tree and drink water from his own cistern until I come and take you to a land just like your own, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive trees and honey. Then you will live and not die. Don't listen to Hezekiah, for he is misleading you when he says, the Lord will rescue us. Have any of the gods of the nations actually rescued his land from the power of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Indeed, did any gods rescue Samaria from my power? Who among all the gods of the lands has rescued their lands from my power? So how can the Lord rescue Jerusalem from my power? The people were silent and did not respond, for the king had ordered, don't respond to him. 2 Kings chapter 19. Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace supervisor, accompanied by Shebna the scribe and Joah, son of Asaph the secretary, went to Hezekiah with their clothes torn and reported to him what the chief advisor had said. When King Hezekiah heard this, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and went to the Lord's temple. He sent Eliakim, the palace supervisor, Shebna the scribe, and the leading priests, clothed in sackcloth, with this message to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz. This is what Hezekiah says. This is a day of distress, insults, and humiliation, as when a baby is ready to leave the birth canal, but the mother lacks the strength to push it through. Perhaps the Lord your God will hear all these things the chief advisor has spoken on behalf of his master, the king of Assyria, who sent him to taunt the living God. When the Lord your God hears, perhaps he will punish him for the things he has said. So pray for this remnant that remains. When King Hezekiah's servants came to Isaiah, Isaiah said to them, tell your master this. This is what the Lord says. Don't be afraid because of the things you have heard, these insults the king of Assyria's servants have hurled against me. Look, I will take control of his mind. He will receive a report and return to his own land. I will cut him down with a sword in his own land. When the chief advisor heard the king of Assyria had departed from Lachish, he left and went to Libna, where the king was campaigning. The king heard that King Tirhaka of Ethiopia was marching out to fight him. He again sent messengers to Hezekiah, ordering them, tell King Hezekiah of Judah this, don't let your God in whom you trust mislead you when he says, Jerusalem will not be handed over to the king of Assyria. Certainly you have heard how the kings of Assyria have annihilated all lands. Do you really think you will be rescued? Were the nations whom my ancestors destroyed, the nations of Gozan, Haran, Rezeph, and the people of Eden and Telasser, rescued by their gods? Where are the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of Lyre, Sepharvaim, Hena, and Iva? Hezekiah took the letter from the messengers and read it. Then Hezekiah went up to the Lord's temple and spread it out before the Lord. Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, Lord God of Israel, who is enthroned on the cherubs, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the earth. You made the sky and the earth. Pay attention, Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, Lord, and observe. Listen to the message Sennacherib sent and how he taunts the living God. It is true, Lord, that the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands. They have burned the gods of the nations, for they are not really gods, but only the product of human hands manufactured from wood and stone. That is why the Assyrians could destroy them. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power so that all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you, Lord, are the only God. Isaiah, son of Amoz, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I have heard your prayer concerning King Sennacherib of Assyria. This is what the Lord says about him. The virgin daughter Zion despises you. She makes fun of you. Daughter Jerusalem shakes her head after you. Whom have you taunted and hurled insults at? At whom have you shouted and looked so arrogantly? At the Holy One of Israel. Through your messengers you taunted the Sovereign Master. With my many chariots I climbed up the high mountains, the slopes of Lebanon. I cut down its tall cedars and its best evergreens. I invaded its most remote regions, its thickest woods. I dug wells and drank water in foreign lands. With the soles of my feet I dried up all the rivers of Egypt. Certainly you must have heard. Long ago I worked it out. In ancient times I planned it. And now I am bringing it to pass. The plan is this. Fortified cities will crash into heaps of ruins. The residents are powerless. They are terrified and ashamed. They are as short-lived plants in the field or green vegetation. They are as short-lived as grass on the rooftops when it is scorched by the east wind. I know where you live and everything you do. Because you rage against me and the uproar you create has reached my ears, I will put my hook in your nose and my bridle between your lips, and I will lead you back the way you came. This will be your confirmation that I have spoken the truth. This year you will eat what grows wild, and next year what grows on its own from that. But in the third year you will plant seed and harvest crops. You will plant vines and consume their produce. Those who remain in Judah will take root in the ground and bear fruit. For a remnant will leave Jerusalem. Survivors will come out of Mount Zion. The intense devotion of the sovereign Lord to his people will accomplish this. So this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. He will not enter this city, nor will he shoot an arrow here. He will not attack it with his shield-carrying warriors, nor will he build siege works against it. He will go back the way he came. He will not enter this city, says the Lord. I will shield this city and rescue it for the sake of my reputation and because of my promise to David, my servant. That very night, the Lord's messenger went out and killed 185,000 men in the Assyrian camp. When they got up early the next morning, there were all the corpses. So King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and went on his way. He went home and stayed in Nineveh. One day, as he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adrammelech and Sharezer struck him down with the sword. They escaped to the land of Ararat. His son Esarhaddon replaced him as king. 2 Kings chapter 20. In those days Hezekiah was stricken with a terminal illness. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, visited him and told him, "This is what the Lord says. Give your household instructions, for you are about to die. You will not get well." He turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. "Please, Lord, remember how I have served you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and how I have carried out your will." Then Hezekiah wept bitterly. Isaiah was still in the middle courtyard when the Lord told him, "Go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, this is what the Lord God of your ancestor David says. I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Look, I will heal you. The day after tomorrow, you will go up to the Lord's temple. I will add 15 years to your life and rescue you and this city from the king of Assyria. I will shield this city for the sake of my reputation and because of my promise to David, my servant." Isaiah ordered, "Get a fig cake." So they did as he ordered and placed it on the ulcerated sore, and he recovered. Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "What is the confirming sign that the Lord will heal me and that I will go up to the Lord's temple the day after tomorrow?" Isaiah replied, "This is your sign from the Lord confirming that the Lord will do what he has said. Do you want the shadow to move ahead 10 steps or to go back 10 steps? Hezekiah answered, "It is easy for the shadow to lengthen 10 steps, but not for it to go back 10 steps. Isaiah the prophet called out to the Lord, and the Lord made the shadow go back 10 steps on the stairs of Ahaz. At that time, Merodach-Baladan, son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a gift to Hezekiah, for he had heard that Hezekiah was ill. Hezekiah welcomed them and showed him his whole storehouse with its silver, gold, spices, and high-quality olive oil, as well as his armory and everything in his treasuries. Hezekiah showed them everything in his palace and in his whole kingdom. Isaiah the prophet visited Hezekiah and asked him, "What did these men say? Where do they come from?" Hezekiah replied, "They come from the distant land of Babylon." Isaiah asked, "What have they seen in your palace?" Hezekiah replied, "They have seen everything in my palace. I showed them everything in my treasuries." Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Listen to the word of the Lord. Look, a time is coming when everything in your palace and the things your ancestors have accumulated to this day will be carried away to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. Some of your very own descendants whom you father will be taken away and will be made eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The Lord's word which you have announced is appropriate." Then he added, "At least there will be peace and stability during my lifetime." The rest of the events of Hezekiah's reign and all its accomplishments, including how he built a pool and conduit to bring water into the city, are recorded in the scroll called the Annals of the Kings of Judah. Hezekiah passed away, and his son Manasseh replaced him as king. Well, today we certainly saw a lot of action. We saw quite an attitude from the king of Assyria, and of course God dealt with him appropriately. And then here, what a sad and foolish ending for Hezekiah. Well, my prayer is that God will be with you today and bless you, and we'll meet back here tomorrow. I look forward to seeing you then. My name is Steve Webb.